Hello, fellow humans. My name is Vlad Bunea. Today, I will answer the following question. How does imperialism look like in 2025? I take inspiration for today's video from a great book by Utsa Patnaik and Prabhat Patnaik called A Theory of Imperialism. We are dealing here with a specific understanding of imperialism, which is an idea that overlaps with capitalism, but it is also different from capitalism. Broadly speaking, imperialism is a form of economic domination of one region by another. Colonialism is a special case of imperialism in history, such as the control and conquest of one region by another, by a direct settlement of a population or a governing class. Contemporary imperialism is essentially about maintaining very low wages for the working people in the tropical regions, so the owners of capital in metropolitan regions can accumulate capital. The three top concepts are increasing supply price, the value of money, and income deflation. From the introduction to the book, capital accumulation causes increased demand for certain goods, leading to more production, leading in turn to increasing supply price. When this happens, there will be a threat to the value of money. The actualization of such a threat, given the nature of capitalism, is intolerable. The actualization of this threat to the value of money can only be avoided by enforcing an income deflation that imposes hardship on the petty producers and working population. In other words, when capitalists realize that the value of their money may be in danger because the price of products coming from the tropical countries may go up, then these capitalists will force the incomes of the people in the tropical countries to remain low so they can continue to accumulate capital through these differences in the price of goods and labor between poor regions and metropolitan regions. A super important component of the modern theory of imperialism is the existence of the reserve army of labor. These are people who have no choice but to work for a salary to earn a living and who have no control over their options for employment. They have to do low-paid work in poor conditions. They can be hired and fired without notice. They are kept in these precarious conditions by the owners of capitalism, only for the purpose of capital accumulation. In fact, without this reserve army of labor, capitalism cannot exist. The reserve army of labor exists both in poor and developing countries, but also in the rich countries. Unskilled workers who have no choice but to work on a minimum wage are part of this reserve army of labor everywhere. These workers lack any economic power whatsoever. You can be a barista at Starbucks or a strawberry picker in Spain or a miner in Congo. You have no power whatsoever over the amount of your salary or the conditions of your work. You must completely obey the orders of your managers, who in turn obey the orders of the owners of capital. Then we have the concept of labor productivity, which represents the total volume of output, measured in terms of gross domestic product, GDP, produced per unit of labor, usually measured in terms of the number of employed persons or hours worked. All this during a given time reference period. The top country in terms of labor productivity is Luxembourg, at $166 of GDP produced per hour of work. Canada is $67 GDP per 1 hour worked, and China is at $19. This shows that economies produce much more than what the workers are paid. Where does the difference go? In an already famous graph from the Economic Policy Institute, we see a massive gap between productivity growth and hourly compensation growth since 1979. Productivity has risen over 400% since 1948, while wages 253%. productivity has grown 2.7 times as much as pay. This means someone has pocketed this difference. These are the owners of capital by the means of imperialism and other symptoms of capitalism. If we look at a few companies, we can see that Apple has a revenue of $2.3 million per employee. Alphabet has $1.9 million per employee. And Saudi Aramco, $6.3 million per employee. Under no circumstance, the average salary in these companies comes any close to these amounts of revenue for these companies. As we have seen in the previous video, we can understand capitalism in three levels of analysis. The descriptive level, which talks about the daily experience of capitalism from going to work, shopping online, participation in labor strikes, bargaining for a raise. The scripted level, which talks about laws, rules, contracts, norms, algorithms that are written down, which influence directly the behavior of economic agents, such as consumers, managers, investors, government officials, and the interpretative level, which talks about interpretations of what capitalism is and how it operates, such as a theory of imperialism. We can now guess pretty easily that Imperialism 2025 operates on the same structures as Imperialism 1979. What changed in 1979 and soon after? Was Ronald Reagan and his copycats taking power and launching neoliberalism, which is the hardcore, fast version of capitalism that really favored capital accumulation at a pace never seen in history. As Utsa Patnaik and Prabhat Patnaik argue in their book, contemporary imperialism is a manifestation of capitalism that focuses on the relations between the tropical regions and the cities in the rich countries, and between cities and rural areas everywhere. I argue that contemporary imperialism belongs in the interpretative level of capitalism. The causal forces that create imperialism today are the same causal forces that created imperialism since colonial times. Today, if we go to the SEC website and check Schedule 13G of corporations, we see in black and white how power is linked to property. This is an example for Mark Zuckerberg. Each share of Class A common stock is entitled to one vote, and each share of Class B common stock is entitled to 10 votes. This is exactly the force of proportionality that links power to property. Imperialism happens because rules like this one are written down in law. Okay, so we have seen that imperialism is a form of economic domination of one region by another. This economic domination happens because economic power is in proportional relation to property. Those who have this economic enormous power also have the legal ability to establish pyramids of domination by creating large numbers of nested corporations all over the world, all tasked with the same purpose, accumulate as much capital as possible for the top of the pyramid. Regardless if we talk about Mark Zuckerberg or Elon Musk or Larry Ellison or Jeff Bezos, it is the same scheme all over again. All these companies rely heavily on keeping wages low in the periphery countries. All these capitalists require massive amounts of cheap labor and cheap resources. While there have been modest attempts to tame imperialism by raising the minimum wage or creating slightly better working conditions here and there in poor countries, there have been very few attempts at really dismantling this abusive structure. Even if a food delivery worker in Romania or a child laborer in Congo received an increase in their salary, that increase will never be by an amount that would reduce the potential to accumulate capital by those who own the corporations who employ these workers. Which takes us to the conclusion that phasing out imperialism must be in the form of a democratic process where power is no longer connected to property in proportion. There's no way we can keep one share, one vote, and eradicate poverty. There's no way we can keep unelected pyramids of managers and increase the standard of living for the periphery countries. There's no way we can keep the dispossession of land and resources and restore our degraded environment. Imperialism must end. Please share this video outside YouTube, on Facebook, on X, on Truth Social, on Reddit, wherever you can find humans, to help with the organic growth of the revolution. And thank you for supporting me on Patreon. $5 a month goes a long way, so I really appreciate all your contributions. This research is not possible without your support. Let us replace capitalism with an economy for life. Increase the peace.